As we come to the time of Scripture together, our text for today... When I open my Bible app, it says, "Do you love the Bible?" And then I just click no, which is sort of funny because I didn't want to put like a recommendation. It's like, oh, probably should have said no, right? But well. I do like the Bible for those who are watching. Sorry. That didn't work out well at all. So let's start over. Hi. Our sermon text for this morning is found in the Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. I don't believe it's in your packet, so just listen and hear God's word instead of following along with me. It's from Paul's mouth. He says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves one another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake from your slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Loving God, as we stop and we consider these words this beautiful morning together in worship, we ask your Spirit to speak to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a beautiful morning to be here. Last time we were together in this sunny place, it was a little warmer and we were a little more uncomfortable. Now this feels more like an old shoe, doesn't it? Sitting down here, being together. There is an intimacy among us. I suspect that intimacy is why our young people were able to answer that question the way they did, rather than being so distant in the sanctuary. And so, since we're being intimate and we're being honest, since we're in this place together, I want to start out by being honest, or almost too honest. And I'm sure you'll join me in that, because most of our too honestness is important. Because we bring that stuff to God, into our conversations, into our encounters with God and God's Word. And as we reflect on it, that true honesty helps us find space in the Word. There's a lot out there that I don't love. And I suspect I'm not the only one who feels that way when I leave this space. A lot to not love, to not care for, to not care about, to not accept, to not welcome, to not consider, to not allow. There's a lot of those things out there to not invite. There are a lot of instances when we sort of tally up that list for ourselves. I don't love this. I don't like that. I don't want this. And there's serious things to be encouraged to find more. Put more things on the do not list, because that's better for you, or so we are told. And I don't have to go into any sort of detail about what there is to not love. And although we've done it before, where we've talked together and I've asked you to sort of interact with me in it, I encourage you to think of that thing, that person, that ideology, whatever it is that you just don't love the most, and put it there in the front of your mind as we come to God's scriptures today. Because I don't love, and you don't love, a lot of things out there. There's a lot that I'm just not happy about. Watch the news. Go on social media. For me, it's the amount of time it takes to do this before I find something that someone is telling me they don't love and that they're angry about. And you can add more things to it. It's not only how we feel privately, you see. That thing that's in your mind now, that I just don't like, that's not working for me. which is bad enough, but you're encouraged again to publicly seek out more, to look for more places. But then, right along in the middle of that, putting together that list and making it large and aggressive and sort of cloistered, Paul comes along, as Paul often does in the book of Romans, with the Christian persecution of the church being to the level that it was, where his friends and his colleagues are being viciously slaughtered in violent, horrific deaths to the support of the public as they enjoyed it. And he offers us words like the NRSV's translation of today, which says, owe no one anything except to love one another. And I immediately go and say, thanks, Paul, I know that, but I really enjoy my list. And it makes me happy to have such an aggressive list in my community and about my world, and even as I consider my government. Now, I hear that if I'm going to live according to Paul and abide by God's word and God's law, then I must change how I conceive of and behave around certain things, and I know that. Part of that change, specifically, is what we're going to consider today as we look at the second half of the reading from Romans 13. Today, I am specifically focusing on verse 14, the end of the passage. Not just the love stuff, which sort of leads us at the beginning, but that one verse. For as we think about how we are going to love the world around us, how we're going to make sense of this, how we're going to get this list to not be so divisive for us, we are encouraged by Paul to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And being a visual learner and a creative person, I say, yes, what does it mean to put him on? I want to do that in a heartbeat. But it's a little more complicated than it sounds. Well, we might think that it's a relatively straightforward process of loving and accepting God's rule and God's word in our lives. If you linger over Paul's examples at the beginning of the reading I had with you of murder, of coveting, of stealing, and combine them with Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 6, the problem becomes increasingly complex and difficult to weasel out of. It's not enough just to not do something. I haven't killed anybody today that I'm aware of. I haven't stolen anything today. According to Jesus, just the way I think about it is bad enough. And the trap becomes greater, and I'm stepping into it more and more, and there doesn't seem to be a way out. So again, returning to our initial issue, how then are we going to love anyone or care for anyone when human nature makes this process so challenging? Because of how we feel about it mentally. So we create that list. How am I going to even access this? Again, the solution for Paul, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we know, the Greek language is vivid, and it often contains many layers that our English translators, they just can't fully express. They try, and we love that they do try, but they just don't get there all the way. The color in the Greek language, as words are combined together to make new words, it's wonderful. And when you come to a passage like this, diving into it is helpful. For in this situation, again, they're doing that, or Paul is doing that, as he tells you, put on, which you think is straightforward, I think is straightforward. But it's deeper than that. The Greek verb to put on means to sink down into a garment and to clothe another person. For example, think of Jacob from our Old Testament, putting on the coat of many colors on his son Joseph. He places it upon him. He covers him. He wraps it around his son. It is a verb of coming together around the individual, like wrapping a blanket or a shawl around yourself when you are cold as a way to protect you from receiving the action. Sink that way into Jesus, Paul says. And again, our mind pushing for clarity when we look at Greek begins to say louder and louder. So what's that going to look like? Yes, I want to do that. Sounds applicable in theory, but what does it look like? I can tell you to do it this morning. I can encourage you and implore you to continue to try. But when you leave this chapel in a little bit, when you walk back up out of here, practicing that idea can be a little bit challenging. So how do we do it? This is where that imaginative aspect of Jesus with us comes into our lives in creative ways. This sinking down deep. This is not just doing that by itself and singing kumbaya and we will be okay. Putting on Christ Jesus, according to Paul, in this passage involves the mental practices that help us bridge the gap between the community around us and those who need and to feel received and supported. As we sink into Jesus, we rest in the knowledge that all is in God's hands. I don't have to be in control of it because God is in control of it. And when I feel as though there is nothing good happening out there, and when everything I think of and I see says it's not good out there, I rest knowing that God is in control. I fall down into it. We then can feel the peace of Jesus because of that realization. If God is in control, then God is not counting on me to fix anything or to correct anything. God is again in control, and I rest in the fact that it's not up to me. I don't have to understand. I don't have to make it work logically in my mind. We accept that all will proceed according to God's plan, even if in this moment it does not look that way, and I cannot find a way to reconcile in my mind. When I look at the situation and say, I do not see God here, God is here. And that peace transcends. And sinking into Jesus involves then releasing that outcome. God is in control. This is not a blind affirmation that takes no account of the momentary suffering of our day or those that we're called to love and support. Instead, God's presence provides the stability, the anchor, that no matter what happens, no matter how things turn out, no matter if my agenda is advanced or not, God is not going to abandon me as God is not going to abandon the creation God created. God will continue to be present and continue to reconcile all of us to his very side. The implication of this idea being that if Jesus Christ is truly accessible to all, as Christ does in fact love and died for all and welcomed all, and accordingly models for us how we're to live as Christians, then we go all the way back to our list of what I don't love and what I can't reconcile and say, that's okay, because God cares there. I fall into Christ, I put on Jesus, and I allow that to work itself out in a way that God knows. Who is worthy of God's love and acceptance? I have 3 post-college degrees. I have no idea the answer to the question. I have studied it. My children will make fun of me for it. 4 years. I don't know. I have no answer to who is completely worthy of God's love and acceptance. That's God's decision. And God makes it without necessarily asking my input into the situation. Instead, I participate faithfully as God is revealed in my life in the putting on of Christ Jesus as a way to combat that which does not serve God's glory. I love. Because God first loved me. We embrace because God embraces, even if I don't understand why or how or the implications of it. I do the best I can. I sink down in, I put on Christ Jesus, and I let God be God and do what God does. There is a lot in our world not to love. I can't deny it, and neither can you. But what I can do, and what these hard words from Paul invite me to do, is to practice sinking down deep into Jesus Christ and allowing Christ to dictate how we live and how we work and what the implication is that. He is God. I put him on. Let us pray together. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you for being with us this morning. And as we continue to worship you and we celebrate you and what you're doing in our lives, the things we know and the things we don't know, the things we love and the things that we do not love, and we struggle to name and to see your glory in, we commit that to you. Because we are sinking down deep into you, we are falling into you, resting in you, trusting in you. Because only you and by you and through you is the world healed. So Lord, as we welcome new members today, as we continue to worship you in this place, be with us, encourage us, and challenge us to love as you first loved us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Part of the joys, as we heard from our young people, as we continue to worship outside here together, is the welcoming of new members. And this sort of starts, as our clerk comes forward here, this sort of starts our time together here out in our outdoor chapel. As today we will welcome new members, something we've never done outside before, I don't think. I suspect not. Tim's telling me now.
Maybe in 200 years ago. I don't know.
Maybe 200 years
maybe
ago,
183
yeah.
years ago.
They might have done that. And then as well, it will continue in a month from now. We will try communion out here together. And so that practice will be adopted next week. We're going to sort of try it out next week, the methodology we have for serving communion in an outdoor space while we're inside next week for communion. So trying new things, because it's an exciting time to be a Presbyterian, even as some people don't say it's an exciting time to be a Presbyterian, but it is.
It is.
And so I'll go ahead and...
Should we have them come up?
Yeah, yeah, David and Mary, will you join us up front?
Would that be handy if they were... They're here,
I didn't even... Yeah.
It'd be handy if we had...
We had new members. We actually had bodies. So anywhere you want to stand, whatever works for you.
Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works for you. Again, this we're envisioning in a socially distant world how to be the body of Christ, okay. And so we'll get there as the people.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, now we're ready. Yeah. David and Marianne Cardillo are presented by the session for the reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant into which they were baptized. They now desire to profess publicly their faith and to assume greater responsibility in the life of the church and God's mission in the world.
We rejoice that both of you now desire to declare your faith and to share with us in the common ministry of this church. In baptism, you were joined to Christ and made members of his church. In the community of the people of God, you have learned of God's purposes for you and of all creation. You have been nurtured at the table of the Lord and called to witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear then these words from the Holy Scriptures. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, as you, David and Mary Ann, declare publicly your faith, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith into which we were baptized. And so I ask you, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, please answer, I do.
I do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, please answer again, I do.
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, please answer, I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
Will you, the congregation, stand with me as together in one voice we confess the faith we have come to believe by using the Apostles' Creed again? Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You as a congregation may be seated. I'm always worried when we do that, I'm going to forget something. Forget a clause there. I don't know why that is. Sorry, that's probably too much. David and Marianne, you have publicly, professed your faith. Will you now be a faithful member of this congregation, sharing in its ministry and worship, and through your prayers and gifts, your study and your service, fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, please answer, I will, with God's help.
I will, with God's help.
We are unable at this point, or we're recommended, right, not to come forward in this time and lay on of hands. And so I invite you, not just the elders of our session who would normally be coming up in this time to lay on their hands, I invite you to extend your hand forward as members of the body of Christ as we will virtually lay on hands and pray with them. So as you feel called and as you feel able, do one of these jobbies here, although somebody said we're going to do that, right? We can do that kind of thing, which works for me too, if you like that. That works for me. Let us pray for them whenever you're ready. Gracious God, by water and the Spirit, you have claimed us as your own, cleansed us from our sin, and given us a new life. You have made us members of the body of Christ, your church, calling us to be your servants in the world. Renew in David and Mary Ann the covenant that you began in their baptism. Continue the good work you began in them. Send them forth in the power of your Spirit to love and serve with joy, to strive for justice and peace throughout all the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. O Lord, uphold them by your Spirit. Daily increase their gifts of grace. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. I think that would be yours.
Oh, I just closed the book.
You can use mine, just right there.
I thought we were done.
We're close.
There it is. Yeah, right, that's me.
That's you.
Yeah. David and Mary Ann, by publicly professing your faith, that you have expressed your intention to continue in the covenant God made with you in your baptism. Let us welcome them as they join with us in the worship and mission of the church.
Thank you, my friend. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Amen. And we have a certificate proving that we did this.
We can prove we did it.
That's right.
We shake your hand and give you a hug and all that, but in this case, we'll just kind of go,
Maybe after service, we'll take a quick picture of you for the newsletter.
Okay.
Thank you.
You may return to your seats. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.